That is the title track off of Trombone Shorty's new album, Lifted, which came out Saturday. Trombone Shorty, born Troy Andrews, just won a Grammy for his work as a songwriter and featured artist on the album of the year, We Are, from Jon Batiste. Batiste and Andrews grew up together in New Orleans, and both have become global ambassadors for really the unmistakable sound of that city. And on his new album, Trombone Shorty continues that work, throwing down just a whole gumbo of funk, soul, and psychedelic rock, and just about everything. They've got a group of special guests, Lauren Daigle, the New Breed Brass Band, and Gary Clark Jr. And Trombone Shorty joins me now to talk all about it. Thanks so much, and congrats on the Grammy win.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
I was interested to read that during this pandemic, you ended up spending more time at home than you have since high school. Is that true?
That's very true. It was very strange because we couldn't do much, but I had so much time at home. It was a weird balance, but that's very true.
What do you think that did to your creative process? Do you think that affected your creativity at all?
No, you know, I don't think so, because I'm always being creative. Even in my sleep, I'm always jumping up, thinking of ideas. What I try to do during that time is just not think about music and just let it hit me like a regular human and see what type of emotions that can be. But I was always creating every day. I spent most of the beginning of the pandemic actually working with Juvenile, the rapper from Cash Money Records and the New Orleans legend. So that was a good start. From there, I started to just create a lot of music by myself because we couldn't have any other musicians around. But I would do that anyway. It was just weird not being able to have a bunch of people with me.
Which, I mean, maybe this is me putting my own ideas into your album. But, I mean, I've seen you live. I think the last time I saw you were at the Fillmore in Detroit. And when I listened to this album, I almost like heard this. I mean, it sounds like it's live. Like, it sounds like you've got like the best live concert ever recorded. And I wondered if some of that was just the joy of getting back together with musicians in the studio.
You have a good ear, because this time around in the studio on this album, I told the band, let's go for the live energy and let's see what we can do. I've never done that in the studio to where I told them, let's play with that type of energy. So they listen, and you can really feel it.
You really can. I want to hear a little bit from another track. This one is called Lie to Me. For those people who don't know a lot of specifics about music, can you walk us through what we're hearing? Like, we hear these snares that almost sound a little bit like a second line, and then we hear a little bit of a gospel flair with the voices coming in, and then I get like this almost a Sly and the Family Stone groove coming in. Can you tell us what we're hearing?
Yeah, so on that track, you do hear the snares, and that's actually my high school that I went to. I had their drum section to come over on a field trip one day, so they were very excited about that. And I wanted them to kick off the track, and they actually joined me on those tribal chants of Woe Now, which is something that we say in New Orleans. Like, I remember walking down my neighborhood, or driving down my neighborhood, and I saw one of the older guys, Mr. Al, and I said, "How you doing, Mr. Al?" And I was driving past, but I was going fast, and I could just hear him say, "Woe Now," and I remembered that. And so I just, on my way to the studio, I just remembered that, and I kicked it off. But also, you're hearing the second line in there, which is my nephew, Jannard Andrews. He plays in the New Breed Brass Band. He's actually playing a snare in a different section of the song to give us that second line thing. But you hear the marching band. Of course, you hear like the meters type funk underneath all of that.
Let's hear another song off the album. Frankly, the interview would be great if we just played the music, but let's hear a little bit of I'm Standing Here featuring Gary Clark Jr.
Money for nothing, time after time, finger on the button, rolling the dice, tempted the devil.
So this is an altogether nastier sound with a straight ahead beat. And I wonder where this comes from. The lyrics we just heard were, I'm anxious, can't fall asleep without grinding my teeth. When did you write this?
We wrote that during the process right before the shutdown. We were just mumbling a few things, but my band was in here. I came in a few minutes late, and they had about 50% of the vibe just sound checking, and I was able to add something to it to make, I would say, let's just play it, like you say, a straightforward beat, and let's just make it as dirty and nasty as we can, you know, like a blues rock, just low down type of vibe. And it just happened like that. That track felt so good that we rehearsed it after we figured out what we wanted to do, and we recorded it. So there's probably one other take of it.
Did you just say that they came up with the groove of that song during a sound check?
Yeah, so in the studio, when we got to check the mics to make sure everything is in the red, they were just jamming. And that happens a lot for us. So instead of everyone just going at one time, we just start jamming. And I mean, if I could show you my phone, I probably have 300 sound check jams that we just making stuff up on the spot.
You have played in numerous jazz fests. You started performing at a jazz fest with Bo Diddley. You were 4 years old, which is mind-blowing. But you've said that you never wanted to be known as the, quote, jazz guy. Why is that?
Because in New Orleans, you know, I grew up playing with the Neville Brothers, Alan Toussaint, Dr. John, Reaper Brass Band, different people, to where I was so young that I didn't really understand genres. I didn't know that we call it different things. I just thought that everything was a different approach. Some bands that I played in when I was a kid, it was they had guitars and piano, and then the next few hours I can be in the street marching up, and it's just horns and drums and bottles and anything that people can pick up off the street. I'm just a musician, and at the core of it, I'm just playing music.
But you're not just a musician to the people of New Orleans. I mean, you are an advocate for the city. You are a symbol of joy and pride for the people there. Do you not think about that when you're performing and writing?
Absolutely. Everything I do is based in the spirit of New Orleans. Even if I'm not here, I can be in Australia, whatever it is. But when I walk on that stage, I know that I'm representing a city that's resilient, that's full of love and joy, and we celebrate life. I try my hardest to make the city proud by representing what they gave me, what the city gave me across the world. I do it with great pride to be able to represent New Orleans.
I gotta say, I was surprised. I went and looked at your tour schedule, and it made me tired reading it. And yet you still do stuff like, I saw that you just recently sold out the Free Shorty Fest block party. Why continue with something like a block party? I mean, you definitely don't have to do that.
Well, you know, I grew up playing block parties, and that event, the Shorty Fest, is just me raising money to help keep the New Orleans music alive, because we have a lot of kids that play music and they come to my academy every Monday night. So the block party and everything that we do here, it's just my appreciation and love for the city. And I tour more than I actually play in New Orleans. So whenever I get a chance to do something to give back, or at least pay it forward to this city, I'm always down for it, and I'll continue to do it.
To bring it back to the album before we wrap up, the picture on the cover of your album is your mother holding you up, and you're holding what looks like a plastic saxophone. I know you lost your mother recently, and I'm really sorry for your loss. I what did she do? How did she encourage you in your music? Because there's no way that you could have been the prodigy that you were without that support from your family. How did she support your musical talents?
My mom, she was everything that's New Orleans, and she loved music. Even though she wasn't a musician, she lived and breathed music. She had so much rhythm. Her dad was Jesse Hill, my grandfather, who had a big song, Ooh Poopadoo, back in the day. So she's always been around music. Also, she put me with my brother James, my big brother James Andrews, it starts with him in the family, and he kept me around. But she would encourage me any type of way. She bought me all type of instruments. I'm in my studio right now and I'm just looking at all of the instruments, and it just reminds me, now that you say that, it just reminds me of what I grew up with. If I wanted a piano, a clarinet, a French horn, she would have it in the house. So my toy room would be all musical instruments. Without those two, my mom and my brother and my father, I don't think I would be here today, at least musically and doing what I'm doing.
Trombone Shorty's new album is out now. It is called Lifted. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan.